Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on April 13th, 2022. And it's a pleasure to have you here today, or perhaps you're listening on the archive some other time than April 13th. And we welcome you as well. It's the nature of podcasting, of course. Lots of people listen on the archives. We're going to archive this show, as we always do, over at ace-ed.org. ACE-ED.org. That is our Center for Equity and Access, the American Consortium for Equity and Access. Again, ACE-ED.org. And everything we do is over there. You can link to our work on teacher retention. You'll see the icon on SEL. You'll see the icon. You'll see all of our podcasts. You'll see the icon. And, of course, read our magazine, which has the cover illustrated right on the front page of the website, Equity and Access, which we're very proud of. It's an excellent journal. It's only online, so please go over there to ace-ed.org and check it out. And today I've got our good friends. I've worked with them before. These are new people. They're going to be good friends from the Leadership Academy, Mary Rice Booth. And I hope she and Anthony are here. So I'll start with Mary. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Call me Larry, and it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me there, Larry.
You're welcome. Is Anthony with you?
Yes, he should be on.
But I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I think he should be coming in a couple minutes.
Okay, good. I only have one line open, and sometimes people call in from the same place. There he is. He just showed up. There. How about that? Let me say hello to him. Anthony, I won't give you a detention slip for being late, but how do you do? I'm Larry.
I'm doing amazingly well. How are you, Larry?
I'm
and thank
fine.
You for not giving me detention today.
You know what? I won't even call your parents.
You know what? They really don't want to hear me doing one more thing.
Okay,
I can't
enough.
Get in trouble. And one more time. I can't get one more phone call.
Good enough. Anthony, where are you calling in from? Where are you?
Yes. Right now I'm in St. Louis, but I do live in Maryland.
Ah, okay. Very good. How's life in St. Louis today? Go have some catfish. Always great.
Listen, I can't wait to have some good food. But so far, it's been great. Weather's been great.
Yeah.
I can't complain.
Good man. And I'll tell you, catfish down there is unbelievable. It's great. Mary, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here from the Leadership Academy, everybody. LeadershipAcademy.org. And today we're going to talk about the work. They're all about equity and access and all that sort of thing, just like we are. That's why it's so much fun to have them on. And we had Nancy Gutierrez on a few months, a month or so ago. And Mary, talk to us about, we're going to focus today on bringing in educators and specifically administrators, in this case principals, of color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard enough to get teachers of color these days. I'm going to expound about that in a few minutes. But to get administration of color and have that reflect. Okay, a lot of the student body that we teach today is more and more difficult. Just tell us about what you're thinking of doing with what you're calling a Principals of Color Collective. And this is Mary Rice Booth and Anthony Alston from the Leadership Academy at leadershipacademy.org. Mary, please, speak and tell us what you're thinking.
Sure, no problem. And I'm sure, just as you mentioned, right, there's a small group of principals of color currently nationally. About 20% of principals are leaders of color across our country. And so, and this has been, it dropped dramatically after Brown versus Board of Ed, right? And it has, and we haven't been able to re-up those numbers. And so our focus is really, there's a lot of folks focusing on recruitment and getting leaders of color, right, into this pipeline. Our focus is about retention, right, and saying how do we keep the folks that are currently in the seats for longer. And especially after these past 2 years, So principals of color have really, especially those who are serving high poverty schools, right, are really experiencing, students of color are really experiencing a level of stress that we haven't seen before, right? We are really about how do we basically love on our principals of color, create a safe space for them to be able to say that you're valued, you're appreciated.
What's that? Is there an alarm? Is everybody okay?
I don't know where that's coming from.
That's the bell at the school. I am so sorry. I muted myself.
Anthony, that's perfectly okay. I'm glad you're at the school. Okay, I was just worried that you guys had to evacuate. That's all. So no prop noises, dogs barking, kids yelling. It's okay. Don't worry about that. Okay, so we're good. Okay, Mary, please continue.
Sure, no problem. So part of this collective is really is about loving on principles of color, but the other part of it is like all of our principles of color have a clear North Star about creating equitable schools for their students. And so how do we also support them and give them skills, right, about how to navigate these right now, this really political waters that they are trying to navigate through. And so, and this really is about a for us by us type initiative. So we have principals that we're currently training to be facilitating groups of their colleagues.
Nice.
So we are creating the space and creating the training, but we really want to make sure that like principals are talking to principals and supporting each other. So that's the goal. And the long-term goal is that we have principals that are staying in those seats longer and or are moving to roles still within the school system that is suited to their skill sets and their ambitions.
Absolutely excellent. By the way, we do a lot of work here, Mayor, with teacher retention and administrator retention. Okay, and you can go over to our site. We have an icon for it, which is ace-ed.org. We have an icon for teacher retention. Okay, and if you want to go over there, and I'll talk to everybody over at the Leadership Academy, Jill, et cetera, and Nancy, and we can get you guys to get some information up there if you wish to. Okay, so that you can participate in it. Yeah, we'd love it. I mean, this is it's a real, real challenge out there. And, you said something at the beginning of the talk there a minute ago and of your answer. And you said that about 20% of principals are of color. And I'm curious, just as the ratio, do you know what percentage of students in America are of color at public schools, K-12?
Right now we're at 54%. 54% students are of color. And when you look at, if you break that down even more, right, look at like Hispanic or Latinx students, we have Hispanic students make up 27% of public school students, and only 9% of principals are Hispanic. So that's
unbelievable.
Huge.
It's unbelievable. I work with a group, you probably know them, called ALAS, the Association for Latino Administrators and Superintendents.
Yep.
Okay, and it's amazing when you look at 20% of school leaders and 54% of students, so to speak, okay, are of color. It's really an interesting dichotomy. All right, and I hope we can correct that over the course of time. It's a difficult situation, I have to tell you. So what are you doing? How are you putting this all together? And by the way, Anthony, I don't want to leave you out. Let me ask this question. Mary, how does Anthony fit into all this? Okay, and then I'll ask him.
All right. Well, obviously, Anthony brings his own experience just like I, as a principal of color, and kind of bringing that into
the
space.
I didn't know that. Okay, cool. This is good. Go.
Right, and then we move to the space of talking about equity officer. We both are also, we bring our own experiences as equity officers as well. And so we really value the experiences, the experience that we are able to leverage in order to be able to support others. Not saying that we're going to try to duplicate ourselves, but how are we leaning in on what we've noticed and being in the role, and how do we support others navigate the role as well?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I just hope we can find the people who want to do this. Anthony, can you come back on, or you unmute yourself?
Absolutely. Yep. So I think one of the powers of it is that the ability to form connections in relationships and partnerships as a person of color, being a principal or as an equity leader, chief equity officer, it's a lonely place. It's hard to sometimes enter the space when you realize that you are outnumbered and you're alone and there's not a resource or someone to lean onto. Those positions are isolating and lonely to begin with. But when you add the dynamic of being a person of color, I think it adds another layer of isolation. And
absolutely.
So I think one of the most
agreed.
Important, powerful things about the collective is that we're able to grow the network. right? Not just within the state that you're in, but grow the network across the country so that you can begin to have some additional resources, ideas, individuals to talk to and lean on.
And are you a working principal at a school now, Anthony?
I am not currently a working principal. I also work with the Leadership Academy. However, I was a principal at an elementary school and the chief equity officer in that same district.
Good enough. A chief equity officer at the district. Is that what you
said? Yes.
Good man. I love,
yes,
I love to
correct.
Hear that. Okay, that's really cool. So what are you doing? I'm asking this seriously. What are you doing in St. Louis besides taking my advice and eating good catfish later? What are you doing?
I am working with a group of principal supervisors, and actually it's a collective of principal supervisors from St. Louis Public Schools, Springfield Public Schools, and Kansas City Public Schools. I'm working with principal supervisors to support them in growing their principals to be more culturally responsive leaders and have a lens of equity as they do the work to support their principals. So, you know,
it's
the Wallace research shows that, yes, it is. Wallace research shows that a principal, an equity-focused principal, is just effective, if not more highly effective, in impacting the lives of students and a classroom teacher, right? And so if we want to change the lives of our students, we have to work on our principals and our principal supervisors.
What does an equity-focused principal do? When you use that term, what does that mean to you?
Absolutely. So an equity-focused principal recognizes, one, looks at everything through the lens of equity. They center their students of color. They recognize the impact of institutionalized racism on their own lives, the lives of the students and the families that they serve. But then it's action, right? They're looking for ways to mitigate, disrupt, and dismantle oppression and racism and wherever they see it within their building and within their district.
Well, and I have to ask this, okay? When you talk about a principal of color, all right, and again, school leader, PAL, the principal is your pal, okay? When you talk about a principal of color, do you find that most principals of color run schools where most of the kids are of color, or are they in schools where most of the kids are white, if I may, or whatever? What's happening out there in that regard?
Yeah, my experience
yeah.
is that usually you find principals of color in your Title I, high poverty, high minority schools.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
the
often
data
that I find. Yeah,
Mary, go ahead, please. You have the my data expert. Go ahead, Mary.
No, I'm just saying that. I mean, if you'll see again from 1954 until now, right? So that's where mostly principals of color are placed is in those high poverty Title I schools, and yeah, that I mean that's repeated across the country. So that's where they're concentrated.
You know, that's good, but it's also kind of bad, if I may say so. You know, I mean, it's good that they're running schools of color and that they look like the kids and all that sort of thing and they understand their community, but that's good. But, okay, what about how many principals of color run, if I may, I hate to say this, white schools? I do know a few, but I'm just curious about this. What are your statistics on that?
Okay. I don't have it broken down that well, but I do know that
Mary,
across the country.
Mary, you have statistics on everything, Mary. Come on.
I know.
Yeah.
But I do know that there are plenty of districts across our country where there's not a single principal of color, right? And so we have districts that don't have any principals of color. And so I think that, you know, that tells us something, right, in regards to kind of where the concentration is. We also see principals of color concentrated in urban areas and in districts, larger districts, right? So, again, that's just the correlation that is happening. And, you know, that brings extra stress. Most principals are coming in with schools with, you know, a lot of factors, right, institutional factors that they also have to tackle at the same time, as well as students' well-being. And so which leads to stress and which leads to burnout, right? And so, again, the goal of trying to support the leader of color specifically, I think is paramount because, again, where they're concentrated and what type of schools that they're looking to, that they're serving. And then the expectations, right? Like education keeps telling us that we're supposed to turn around schools in 3 to 5 years, which is not not realistic, right? And so, again, that extra stress.
That's why they give presidents 2 terms, okay? You can't do it in 4. Okay, it's that
right.
Simple. Yeah, you can't turn around a jet in 5 miles. All right, it's unbelievable. I have to ask you, and I'll throw this to Anthony. Anthony, are people of color, do they hold themselves back? Do they see that do they want to become principals, okay, and superintendents? All right, I'm serious about this. Or do they see that it might be a problem, and they're happy in their teaching career? Okay, or is it literally just an inherent bias within the systems of schools that they don't have enough principals of color? What's the reason behind it?
Oh, I absolutely believe they want to aspire to be principals and superintendents.
I can't believe they don't.
I think what ends up happening is that the glass ceiling, the barriers, the walls are put in place, the obstacles, there are different standards, there are different criteria, the unspoken ones that prevent them from accessing and excelling to those levels.
And you're going to die laughing when I ask the next question. I'm talking a lot of females, I've talked to a lot of females who are principals of color, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And is it more, where's the... It's a good way to break the glass ceiling. I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. Okay, if you're an African-American woman in education, most people in education are female, okay, and a lot of them become principals. So is it a male-female thing we're talking about here? When you think of the word principal, are you thinking male and female or just male, or what? How does that work? Anthony?
No, I think all. I think what you're seeing, however, is that there are less black males or males of color going into education, period. Or if they go in, they don't stay in, right? And so because they're not going in and or they're not staying in, you're not seeing them rise up to become assistant principals, principals, superintendents. Whereas I feel as our individuals of color, females of color, they're not leaving at the same rate or they're coming in at a higher rate. And so therefore you're seeing that disproportionate number of males versus females of individuals of color.
Yeah, it's really, the whole thing is fascinating. And, you know, I think back to when I was a kid, I went all through Philadelphia schools a million years ago, okay, K-12. Okay, and the school I went to, Overbrook, which I'm very, very proud of, even when I was there, was about 80% African-American, okay, just the way it was. All the leadership, all right, was white, okay, the principals, the vice principals, et cetera. But a lot of our teachers were, in fact, of color. And I don't know how many principals there were, okay, who were of color even back then. It's a really interesting, when you think about it, it's really an interesting thing. I remember one gentleman, this is a horrible story, was Marcus Foster. Do you remember him, Mary?
No, you have to give me some more information about him.
I'll give you more information. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. Marcus Foster was the principal in Philadelphia of Simon Gratz High School, which was an exact duplicate of my school, Overbrook. They were sister schools built the same year. Okay? And he was so good that he was named superintendent of Oakland, California schools. Okay? And you're not going to believe what I'm going to say next. I'm going to say 1970, maybe. He was assassinated because of something he did. I can't remember what it was. He did nothing. Some lunatic assassinated him as superintendent of schools of Oakland, Marcus Foster. Okay? And he was famous, obviously, in Philadelphia. It was a terrible story. Go look it up. You'd just be I think it was the Symbionese Liberation Army, if I can show my age here. Go back to 1968 or 69 or something. Okay? But it was unbelievable. He was one of the few that really made it to the top in those days. It's terrible what happened overall. I mean, it's just incredible. And so where do we go from here? Mary, how do we make this happen? How do we get more men and more females thinking leadership, all right,
right.
in public schools?
Yeah,
how do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many different, factors, right? And so I think institutionally, we see folks come into the position, but they, again, they're not staying, right? So that means that we have a retention problem, right? So we have to be extremely transparent about the fact that we are not supporting any of our educators of color once they come into schools as teachers and or as principals, right? And so how are we providing additional support for them as they are in their role? How are you not, again, a lot of times, again, we go into the space that was not designed for us, and then we are also then, because we are said, told to like, oh, can you be the culture coordinator, and can you lead the equity team, and can you handle these kids that are not listening to this teacher but will listen to you, right? So like, all of a sudden, all these extra responsibilities come onto your plate as well because, oh, you look like the student, therefore you should be able to connect with them, right? Again, that's not being seen. Right. And then when you try to move to a different level, the system that is creating you for regards to like how hiring looks like and how the pipeline looks like, again, is also a blocker. Or your sideline, many men of color are sidelined to the discipline role, right? And kind of they're put in that space, right? And so that doesn't always give a trajectory directly to principal or to district level leader. And so I think all of those factors are at play. And when we really think about how we can support the individual person, but we also need to look at the systems and policies in the institution itself. And is it actually designed for us to have a more diverse system? And right now, I don't believe it is.
I don't believe it is either. It has to be better than this. Okay. Anthony, are you there?
I absolutely am.
Yeah,
I'm here.
I think Mary was a principal of color, obviously of color. She was a principal. And you were a principal too. You were
that
a principal.
Is correct.
Okay.
And I was a principal.
And just from your own experience, okay, and I hate to ask this question, so what are we talking about here? Are we talking, how hard is it to be a principal of color in the world today? Let me just ask bluntly.
It is probably one of the most challenging pieces in the world of the profession, and the reason I say that is that just the obstacles that my white counterparts did not have, right? I've had the experience of walking into a principal's meeting and a white principal telling me, you can't sit at the table with the other black principals. Well, why? The white principals sit together, and why is it a problem? Right? And so
Wait a minute. Can I just hear you? Would you say that again? I'm not sure I understood that. Say that again.
Yep. And so I entered the principal's meeting, and I sat with three other black male principals. And a white female principal came up to me and said, you're not allowed to sit with them. And my response was, why is that? You don't say that to the white principals that are sitting together. Right? And so that's just one example of the racist behaviors that I experienced that I don't believe that white principals have to experience. And I'm going to ask them that question. I don't believe many white principals are challenged in regards to their credentials as to how they got to be behind that desk or sit at that desk.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think it's the constant having to prove yourself over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, that's Brian Gumbel said it. He was tired of being a credit to his race. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he had better. I thought that line was just incredible. Okay? He's just tired of that. I'm sure you're everybody's attitude exactly. And Mary, you had the double whammy of female and African American. Mary?
Yep, exactly. And I was also a young principal as well. So,
three strikes are out there. That's it. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
And so I think,
okay.
And I was in high school as well. So I was a high school principal. So I think all of those factors played into being isolated, right? Into being like, who is this person coming in and trying to be a principal and just being, and I think it's, I think Anthony touched on this, it's never attack. First it's an attack on your skills. And so if they can't then attack your skills, they attack your character, right? And so I think that's also the balance of like, that individual attacking happens in you know, slight and larger ways, right? And so we like to call it a microaggression, but like as my colleagues say, it's not very micro about, it doesn't feel very micro when it's put on you, right? And so I think that's again, it's the wear and tear when you're not just getting it from right, exactly. You're not just getting it from students. You're not just getting it from your teachers. You're getting it from your colleagues. You're also getting it from, you know, community, family, and from district, right? So it's coming at you from so many different stakeholders as well, that it can just be downright exhausting.
Yeah, that microaggression thing, I'm always reminded of the line that the definition of a bad hurricane is the one that hits your house. Okay, it might seem like a microaggression to other people, but it hits you tremendously. Okay,
right.
And you know, it's just, it's just amazing. And of course, I'm white, but when you hear it from the other side, you know, because people basically, although there is an inherent bias, I will always say that, but people try to do the right thing and be professional, and we have to start thinking differently. I mean, it's just, and that's what I think you guys are trying to do here is make people think differently about all this and get rid of this old crap that we have, all of us, you know, and carry with us. And they're just people. We're just all people working together to help kids in this case, you know, with education. It's just astounding. So the Principles of Color Collective, okay? And, Mayor, I have to ask, you know, it's important to get the people of color in that. But can other people, let me be blunt, white people, okay, join us in white superintendents to hear what you have to say about this? It makes all the difference. If they understand this, it makes all the difference in their recruiting and retention. Yeah. How's that work?
Yeah. We'll let you know how it goes. no, so yes. Sorry, you're not invited. However, we do plan on sharing kind of what are we learning and what are some of the what's the greater kind of recommendations that we have to our colleagues, to our white allies, co-conspirators, in order to be supportive to us. But this space is for us, and it's being very clear that's the space, and we're not gonna budge on that one.
Yeah, it's just wild out there. A new Leadership Academy is just great. By the way, for some reason, Anthony's phone clicked off here. So he is right now not with us. I hope he calls back in. Okay, but for some reason, he just disconnected. Okay, so I'm going to do this. So what's the next step for you? How do you want people to hear this? And what's the next step that you want school districts, people to do?
Yeah. First, I want them to let their leaders of color, their principals of color, know that there is a space for them provided for them, and that they can participate in it. It's at no cost to them, which is a nice thing. It will be launching in July. It's virtual, so they don't have to leave their office if they don't want to, and they know that they're coming into a space of active principals of color, most
nice.
Likely from the geographic area. So we're going to be grouping them by where they are in the country.
And then
also grouping them by breaking down even more affinity. So our Black principals, our Latinx principals, our Asian principals, right, our East Asian principals, right, really being really distinct about, again, even though collectively as a leader of color, we all have similar experiences of being minoritized, but there is a distinctive experience from being Black versus being a Latinx versus being Asian. So we want to also be mindful of that and be able to kind of really to break down those groups in that way. And so if you have leaders of color, if you are a leader of color that you want into that space, please reach out to us and let us know so that we can get you connected. We already have a virtual space that we're building. We have about 100 principals right now who are have signed on to participate. We officially launched in July. July 1 it will be our we kick off in our first session with the full collective. So we still have space. So would love more folks to come join us.
Mayor, can we follow up with you? Can I make a note? I'll talk to Jill about this. After you guys have your first few meetings together, okay. Can we do another show? I'd love to follow up and see what was discussed and where you're going from there. Would that be okay? I think it's great.
Yep, yep, definitely. We did launch with our facilitators. So we did have our first group of facilitators come together. And that was just like from immediately, it was just like there's a level of like comfort. And you can like literally hear like the sigh, right? Like people just like kind of let out the breath of being in a space. Being able to connect with each other. And so we're hoping to continue to build that space for people to feel like they can, take a breath, relax and just be connected with each other.
Mary, I tell you, just from knowing you for this last half hour, I have a feeling since you're in charge, this is going to work very well.
Thank you.
I really do. Okay. You got it together. You really do. Anthony, for some reason, dropped off. It must have been the phone connection or whatever. I didn't disconnect him, obviously. And I do want to talk to him about the Equity Officers Collective. I don't know what happened to him. He might have just lost the connection, whatever. So please tell him that, okay? And I'll get back to all of you. And I can't thank you enough for being here. This is great, okay? And I'll tell everybody to go to leadershipacademy.org and work it out. It's good stuff.
All right.
Good stuff.
That sounds good. Thank you so
much.
Keep up
the good work.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, we'll do more. It's nice to know you, Mary. Thank you.
All right.
Be good. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. That's Mary Rice Booth. And Mary is the Access and Equity Officer. She's pretty cool. At the Leadership Academy, leadershipacademy.org. And Anthony, I don't know what happened to Anthony. Okay, Anthony, but we're going to get him back, okay? Anthony runs the Equity Officers Collective, while she runs the Principles of Color Collective. But it all works together, okay? It just, someday we'll get to a point where we don't need any of this stuff, but I don't know when that's going to happen. I hope so. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. We're doing a lot of work with teacher retention. We have an icon over there. And everything else we do, check it all out, ace-ed.org and their leadershipacademy.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.